Life has many ups and downs, and over the course of a couple's relationship together, we do lots of planning for our future. And for our children, well, we think about planning for our own funeral so that in their grief, well, they are not left with the burden of planning that. But are you having the financial discussion with your spouse so that way when one of you dies, the other knows how to get things taken care of? Well, there is a roadmap to help widowers plan for that time when their spouse dies. And fortunately for us today, Ashley Michikay, the managing principal from True North Retirement Advisors, has the four steps you all need to take. Good morning, Ashley. Thanks so much for joining us again today.
Good morning, Brenda.
Well, Ashley, this is definitely one of those conversations that I think about for myself and the good deacon. I would prefer not to have to do that conversation because it brings up sadness. But these are really difficult conversations. But you said the first thing to do is you've got to plan it before a death in the family.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's the biggest reason why people don't prepare is because it's just uncomfortable thinking about your own death or the death of a spouse. But the last thing that you want to worry about or want your spouse to worry about is money after a death. And, you know, you're grieving, it's a lot to handle. And we don't want money worries to be thrown in there as well. So as much as you can, prepare in advance. And I'm sure we'll get into this, but it's not a lot of, it doesn't take a lot of doing things and lots of time consuming things. It's actually fairly straightforward and simple to create a roadmap for your spouse, at least as far as the finances are concerned.
Ashley, it does seem that for the typical family that each spouse has their jobs. One has the bigger picture of investments and taxes and loans and things like that. And another spouse, well, they get the month-to-month bills taken care of. So it's just important. It's not that somebody is completely ignorant about how finances work, but it's just a coming together of that. So it's four steps that you suggest people go through. So let's start working through those this morning. Where do we start?
Step one is creating a financial inventory. And basically what this includes is you can kind of think of it as a table of contents for your finances. It's just a very simple list, and the list has all of your bank and investment accounts. It would also include insurance or annuity policies. If you want to go a little extra, you could include a will or trust, social security information, tax return. I mean, you can really go, but at the very basic, it's a picture of your assets. And also debts, if you have debts as well. So, and it's just a list. So you don't have to get all the statements and everything, but it's a very simple list that has, for example, your bank account. What's the balance? What account type is that? Is that a joint account? Is it a single account in your name? Where is it held? Which bank or financial institution is that held at? And you would do that for all of your, again, all of your bank accounts, all of your investment accounts. And what you're trying to do here is to make sure that assets are not forgotten. So if you still have a 401k at a previous employer, which is a very common thing, your spouse may not know about that. They might assume that you rolled it over to an IRA when you left that job. And without that documentation or that financial inventory, they may not even know that that exists. And then the money remains unclaimed. So we want to avoid that, and we want a very clear picture of all of the assets and all of the debts, where it's held, and then that way there's no going through file boxes in the garage for 6 months after a death to try to get a handle on what the assets are.
Ashley Michikay is with True North Retirement Advisors. She's Leadership Circle member here at Mater Dei Radio, talking to us today about having that difficult financial discussion so that way, in the event of the death of a spouse, you have a financial roadmap. All right, so get that inventory done. And that does seem to be one of those areas, that inventory, that leads to many other things too, in planning a will or doing your retirement planning, that you have that kind of inventory done. So now that it's ready, what's the next step?
The next step is we want to ensure that all of the cash flow needs of the household are met. So this is money coming in, income, money going out, and bills, things like that. And later in life, you know, when someone typically passes away, you have Social Security income coming in. You might have income from a pension. You might have investment income coming in. So there's various sources of potential income that we want to document so that the other spouse is aware and knows what to do. Because at the time of a death, if you're collecting a pension and Social Security, there's going to be changes to that. And so you want to know exactly what's coming in and also what's going out. So if you've ever done a budget, it looks a lot like a budget. So you have the name of the bill or, you know, the, whatever that payment is. So if it's a mortgage or a utility payment, and then you have the approximate amount. So, you know, the utility is $300 a month for this. And then you want to include how that is paid. This is very important because if you're you might write checks for certain things. It might be debited automatically from your checking account or a credit card. And so we all have various ways that we pay bills. And so the surviving spouse may not be aware. If they're not the one who are handling the bill pays, they might have no idea how the electric bill gets paid. And so we want to avoid the chaos of trying to figure that out. And so we want to know how it's paid. And then also, very importantly, the due date and the frequency, because not every bill is every month. Some bills, you know, you only pay maybe once a year or once a quarter. So it properly categorizes all of those bills, money coming in, money going out, so that the spouse knows exactly when bills are due and how they're going to pay for those things.
Ashley Michikay with us today. She is helping us create a widow's financial roadmap. And while it is a difficult discussion to have, well, before the death in the family is the perfect opportunity to do that. Ashley, we have had a fantastic conversation. There is two more steps that we need to get to, but I'm already up against my break. Can you stay with me through the break so we can continue in the next half hour?
Absolutely.
And I'm back this morning with Ashley Michikay. She is a managing principal at True North Retirement Advisors and Leadership Circle member here at Mater Dei Radio. While we have been having maybe a discussion about, you know, a topic we don't want to think about, it is really important to think about that time when your spouse dies and you're going to have to take over all of the financial decisions that usually you split between the two of you. Ashley is giving us today the four steps it takes to help you get there. Good morning, Ashley. Thanks for staying with me today.
Good morning, Brenda.
Ashley, as I said, this is just one of those conversations that, well, it doesn't feel good for a spouse. You just imagine your life just always being like it is, but we have got to plan for those times. And the financial responsibility is important. Look, we've all known that couple, that person whose spouse has died, and they just didn't know how to handle the finances. So this is something that has to happen before the unthinkable happens. Because, well, let's face it, we know God is going to welcome each and every one of us home at some point in our lives. So we began this discussion on our last half hour. What were the first two points that we've already covered?
The first one is creating a financial inventory. So this is a list of your assets, bank accounts, investment accounts, insurance policies, as well as debts, so that the other spouse, especially if they're not as involved with the finances, they have a really good handle of all of the assets and where they're held and what the account types are, as well as the balance or value of those accounts. And then the second step is ensuring cash flow needs are met. So that what that looks like is a list, really a lot like a budget. So it's a list of all the income, money coming in, a list of all of the money going out every month, bills, and you would put the name of the bill, the approximate amount, how it's paid, which is very important for this widow's or widower's financial roadmap, because they need to know, are you paying with a check? Is it ACH? repay a credit card. And that is really key to ensuring that there's not this chaos financially after the death of a spouse, and your utilities are shut off, you get behind on bills. That can create a lot of stress and make the grieving process much, much worse and make the other spouse feel overwhelmed if they don't even know how to pay the bills. So we want to avoid that.
All right, Ashley, so that's what we've covered so far. There are two more steps that is important in this process. What's step number three?
Step number three is setting up a password manager. And I think that the first two items are maybe intuitive to most people who think, okay, if I want to set myself, my spouse up for success if I die, I need to do these two things. But the third step of setting up a password manager isn't as intuitive. And I think it's forgotten and not done it's done rarely, but it is so essential. So a password manager, what it does is it securely stores all of your logins for all of your accounts. So this could be not just financial accounts, but Facebook and your Fred Meyer grocery login. I mean, you could store all of your online logins here, and all you need to do is remember one master password. And there's lots of password managers out there. And if you're going to look into this, I would encourage you to look into one of the more established, like well-known ones. But it is an invaluable tool even while you're alive, because you can have secure passwords for every single different site that you use, bank accounts, everything can be separate, and it can be really strong passwords because you don't need to remember them. But it's really critical when somebody dies, because almost everything is digital now. So all of your bank accounts are online, your investment accounts, your email address, your social media. One thing that comes to mind is for myself personally, I know a lot of people do this, is all their photo storage and precious memories are stored online in the cloud. And so without access, your spouse can spend hours digging through, trying to reset passwords. I had this happen recently when my father-in-law died. She needed to reset a password, but it was going to his email address, and she couldn't get into his email address. And so it's just this loop that you can't get out of. And so what you can do with a password manager is you and your spouse both have your own logins, but you can share passwords with your spouse. And that makes it really easy for them to then go in, manage accounts, cancel subscriptions, retrieve family photos. All of those aspects of your digital life are accessible to your spouse without fear of that being lost forever, or without them dealing with the stress of just trying to get access to a bank account that they don't already have access to.
Wow, Ashley, that for sure was not one of the steps that I would think about, but you're right. I was thinking about a couple of our accounts. If, you know, the good deacon wasn't there to get into it for me, I don't know that I would be able to do that. So that is a great tip. Tips we're getting this morning from Ashley Michikade, Managing Principal at True North Retirement Advisors. All right, so we've gone through three of those steps. What's the last thing we need to do?
The last step is probably the hardest, Brenda, and that is writing a personal letter to your spouse. And this is different than a will or a trust or something that's legally binding, but it's really important. And I think of it as like the cover letter to the widow or widower's roadmap. And it should include a few key elements. So the first one is letting them know where all the financial documents are located. So the roadmap is just this table of contents in a brief list. It's not the full complete information. Those documents might be stored elsewhere. So if you're keeping things in a safe or a safe deposit box, or, you know, God forbid, a baker's box in the garage, where all these important financial documents are located. And of course, you want to provide words of love and reassurance to them that they're going to be okay, and that you've done all of this work in advance to prepare them and to set them up so that financially they're going to be okay and they're not going to have the additional stress of money when they're dealing with a tremendous grief. any advisors and their contact information. So if you work with a financial advisor, if you have a CPA or a tax advisor, if you have an attorney, a couple of things here. Once you complete your roadmap and your inventory and all this, give that to those advisors. Make sure that they have a copy of it, because your spouse can call them up, and they're going to need to call them up pretty quickly after a death and say, you know, my husband or my wife has died, and they're going to be able, they're the first phone call you make outside of family usually to help you navigate those next steps. And so you want your spouse to have all of their contact information, know how to get a hold of them. A lot of times they already know these people, but not always.
Okay.
And so it's important to include that. And then the very last thing that I think is very overlooked, and I think a big mistake that a surviving spouse will make, is you want to encourage them to not make any big financial decisions or lifestyle changes right away.
Mm.
And the best example I can think of this is selling the house. I had a client who passed away recently, and the surviving spouse lives on 5 acres out in the middle of nowhere, all by herself, and it's a lot to manage. But the problem is that you might be tempted, like, I'm going to sell the house, I'm going to move to the beach where I've always wanted to live anyways. And so you might be tempted to make this big life change, like selling a house or making big, big changes to your investments or just other major financial decisions. But you want to avoid doing that to the extent that you can in the first few months.
Okay.
Because grief really clouds good judgment. And in most cases, those decisions can wait, and they should wait. And that letter can really serve as a gentle reminder to just pause, take some time. Everybody grieves differently, but generally I think waiting at least 6, 12, maybe even 18 months or longer before you even consider any big life changes, we'll make sure that that grief is not causing them to do something rash that they shouldn't.
And then just lastly, very quickly, it seems like it may be very important to have that financial planner or somebody with you, because beyond those steps, there's a lot of decisions that happen as far as survivorship benefits, Social Security benefits, rewriting and making a new will. I mean, all of those things are in addition to just this month-to-month financial planning, true?
Absolutely, yeah, okay. And updating beneficiaries. Yeah, I think meeting with those key professionals, advisors, financial advisor, tax advisor in the first 2 to 3 months after a death helps with that a lot, and you can rework all of those things that need to be updated, make sure that your Social Security and pension benefits that are coming in are updated. And also, like, tax advisor, your filing status is going to change. You go typically from married filing jointly to filing single, and that can have a big impact on your taxes depending on your income situation. So, but those things can wait. The main thing, you know, in the first few weeks, we just want to make sure that the bills are paid.
Got it.
And then in the first couple months, you can kind of do a bit more planning and making updates that are necessary. But before you do anything like that, you always need copies of the death certificate first to handle all of those claims and changes. So, and that, you know, that takes, it doesn't take a long time, but it takes a little bit of time. And so we just want to make sure that the surviving spouse knows of all the assets and all the debt, knows how to keep the bills paid and the lights on. And then we can transition to doing some more long-term planning after, a month or two.
All of it, very, very great advice. And Ashley, thank you so much for bringing forward a topic. Like I said, it's not one that we like to think about, but boy, how much more helpful and it would be after the death of a spouse that you've done all of these steps and you know what to do. Thank you, Ashley, so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Brenda. I always love talking to you.